That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we're bringing the band back together, adding more cowbell for this special, very special edition of the Microsoft Virtual Academy, getting started with PowerShell desired state configuration. I'm Jason, one of your hosts today. This presentation is very special for two reasons. One, the technology. You can't miss a moment of this live presentation, not a single moment of this. But two, more importantly, our guest today is the inventor of PowerShell and the mindcrafter of all of this that we're going to be working with today, none other than Microsoft distinguished engineer, Jeffrey Snover. Jeffrey, thank you so much.
My pleasure. We're going to have some fun today.
Oh, we're going to have lots of fun. Now, before we even get started, we just got to, you gave us PowerShell.
Yeah.
So for an IT guy, I now could do amazing things. I could configure a system, I could do this, and when I liked it, I could automate it, and then I could scale it out, and so that there weren't mistakes anymore made by me typing, do this.
Exactly.
So it gave me the ability to automate my system configurations, automate any tasks that I needed to have done.
And improve the quality.
Through
automation.
So you made me happy. Yeah. Why are we going, what does this desired state configuration mean for me today? I already have the solution I need. Why do I need this?
So there's actually, great question. So there's a couple answers. So first is, when you want to go configure a system, turns out there's lots of steps, right?
Right.
So, and a lot of the steps, it's all about community, right? You're not going to do it all by yourself. You're going to use the community, and we'll show you some of that here, you know, the gallery, et cetera. So you're going to get these parts, and then you're going to stitch them together. And the question is, well, do they stitch together in a way that works? Because often what happens is, this guy assumes things are set up this way. This guy puts you in this directory when you're done. This guy does that, et cetera. So sometimes stitching together all the components makes it hard to get it right.
Right.
And you'll see that desired state configuration really is just a way to write your scripts according to a set of rules. I mean, they're rules you could have used all the time. But we're just formalizing those rules. And these rules then make it easy to take components from lots of different people, stitch them together, and have things just work. Now, the other benefit of it is that what we say is not just, hey, write your rules so that they can, write your scripts in a way that they can stick together, but write them in a way, a certain style, something we call idempotency. By the way, I'm never sure if that's the right way to pronounce it. Idempotent or idempotent?
Neither am I, and there's too many ways for me to go so wrong with that word, so I'll leave it to you.
Don't go there.
Yeah.
So, what?
Idempotent, yeah.
Idempotent. Idempotent.
Idempotent.
We're going to use both today to make everyone feel special and not left out.
There you go.
So idempotency basically says do things in a way that you can do them over and over and over again and there's no side effect. So the classic example is something that's not idempotent is add one. So you take something and you say, oh, add one, so it's one, do it again, it's two, do it again, it's three, do it again, it's four, etc. So that's not idempotent. Idempotent would be make it one. So you make it one, it's one. Do it again, it's one. Do it again, it's one. Do it 1,000 times, answer, it's one. So that's something called idempotent. And so we want to write scripts that are idempotent. Now what that allows you to then do is to say, I want the world this way, and we go and we make it that way, and then we always check and say, hey, do it again, and it doesn't screw things up. Whereas most scripts aren't that way. Most scripts, if you just do a set of operations, change things.
You know what? I think what we'll do is we're going to do a quick demonstration. Even before we do introductions, official introductions, let's do a quick demonstration of this. Let's take a simple script. We're not even going to show you the script yet. We're going to take a simple script, then use DSC to make a change to a system and check and make sure that it stays that way with desired state configuration. In fact, if you take a look at my screen right here, and guys, we're gonna show you where to get all the code, so don't panic. We're gonna show you how to find all the slides and all of the code here in just a few minutes. What I wanna do is I wanna run a line here, and you'll notice, working with PowerShell, get service name bits. I'm just gonna check the bits service on S3 just to prove to you that it is currently running, or excuse me, stopped. That's what I wanted was stopped. And so, And down here in step eight, we're going to run a commandlet right now. We're going to be talking about all the DSC commandlets, and this is going to start a configuration, and we're going to take a particular script that is going to make a change to this service. Now, this service is going to get set from stopped to running, and so I'm just going to go ahead and run this. And we'll explain the verbose output as we go through it. However, I want to point out that it says service bits already exists. Whoops, slid right off my screen. Already exists, and it looks at the properties for it, and then it says bits has been started because my script wanted it started. And we'll test that real quick just to make sure that it accomplished the task.
Because maybe it's lying.
Now, we also have commandlets that we're going to be working with, specifically like test configuration, that will help us verify this. And we can also see that it says it is in our desired state of running. And get configuration.
Well, it says it's in the desired state that you wanted.
That
your
I wanted.
Configuration
exactly.
Is in desired state.
And get DSC configuration is going to tell us whatever the state is, even if it isn't what I had wanted. But right now you'll see that its bits is actually set to running. Well, let's do this. Let's stop it.
Yeah. Now, there, you set it up. And now some Yahoo comes after you and starts messing with your system,
and
like me.
This is what I think is the important and the cool part to this. Usually when we run a script, we change the status of a service. Okay, I'm happy, I walk away, I'm done. Now someone like you sneaks in and messes with my stuff.
Yeah.
So let's do that. Here's the Jeffrey command. We'll call it invoke command right now, going in and messing with our stuff. And so we're going to stop that service. And just to show you real quick, that service is stopped. And we're going to run the test configuration. And as you'll see, it is not in what the state that I had wanted it. Well, an interesting kind of thing. We're just going to have it. Now, we'll talk about this. If I leave it alone, it will do this all by itself. But I'm going to ask the system to just rerun its existing configuration that we had sent to it. So I notice I'm going to be using a switch called use existing. We'll talk again more about that. And this tells the system, look, do your best, get back to the way that you were supposed to be, and we'll take a look at it. And now it's back, and let's verify that it is back the way that it is. And so what's the moral of all of this? The idea is this. You sent a script, it configured something, but somebody else could come by and change it later. That's drift. That's not good. We can talk tons about that. However, what DSC helps us do is that if I set something up, that's the way it's going to be. Kind of like you being like the captain of a starship. If you say, this is what I want.
Jean-Luc?
Yeah, exactly. That makes me number one. It's better than being number two, but I'm number one. So if you're the captain and you say, this is what I desire, then it's my responsibility to go out there and make sure that it happens and that it stays that way.
Yeah, exactly.
And that people that come along behind, no, sorry, that's not what the captain desired. Therefore, we are not going to do it that way.
Yeah, now there's another element here. So notice what he said was, you know, the system had drifted. It had gone out of state. He didn't go in and say, oh, okay, perform this operation, perform that operation. I'm going to try and figure out how to get it back in state. No, he just said, make it be the way I wanted it to be. And the system does that for him. Now, here it was just one thing, but you'll see when there are lots of things that you can configure, it becomes very, very powerful.
In fact, ladies and gentlemen, now let's do some official introductions and get down deep.
Who the heck are you anyway?
Who the heck are these people? We're going to start with you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you take a look at the slide, Jeffrey Snover.
Yeah, howdy. Howdy. So I'm a distinguished engineer at Microsoft, and now I'm the lead architect for Windows Server and for the System Center data center products. And I've been doing this a long, 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 long time.
Long, long time. Yeah.
If there's a mistake to be made in the computer industry, I have made it. So, but I've learned from it and put that into the code.
And that's how we're going to absorb that and fix everything. If you take a look, my name's Jason Helmick, an author evangelist at Pluralsight. An interesting thing, I also work with PowerShell.org. This is for the community. So if you haven't checked out PowerShell.org, this is a free place for you to go where you can ask questions, especially about what we're talking about today. It also runs the PowerShell summits, both in North America and Europe. It's a great community site owned by the community for you. So make sure if you get a chance to check it out. Also an author of a PowerShell 4 book. But really what the what I like to do best is what I'm doing right now, and that's working with you and getting a chance to talk to him. So, and onward and upward. Take a look. Here's what we're going to be doing today.
Yeah.
So today we're going to, when we get started into module one, we're going to get you ready for DSC. We're going to take a look at the architecture and the requirements. We're also going to show you something special that just got released and show you how to get it set up so you could follow along with us. That'll be the Windows Management Framework version 5 February preview. Then in module two, we'll start to break this down step by step. We're going to look at the different types of deployments, starting with a push deployment, take you through the entire sequence of doing a push deployment, kind of the more details of what we just did here as a demonstration.
And we're introducing a term here, LCM. You're going to see that a lot. LCM stands for the Local Configuration Manager.
And I think you're going to be amazed at what's now built into your operating system that you never knew was there.
This is one of the things I'm disappointed. We call it LCM. I actually tried to make it called the Make It So engine. But
I think that that goes back to the Starship. I am so happy.
Make It So.
Make It So. Yes, yeah. Sir. And then when we get to module three, we'll be looking at configuring the pool servers. There's going to be some great demonstration and information here on doing the pool servers. Module four, we're going to do deploying the configurations of the pool servers. We'll set up some configurations, test them out through all the different types of pool servers that we have. We're going to do something called a resource roundup to get you started working with DSC. And then we're going to get into some of the details of making better configurations with DSC. And then at the end of the day, and this is why you can't miss a moment, I don't know if you knew this, but it's all about cross-platform, baby. And you're going to see something extra special. Matter of fact, two extra special things with desired state configuration. It's not just for Windows, boys and girls. We're going to do this with Unix. And I'll save the other one as a surprise when we get there. You're going to really love it. So
Crazy.
Setting some expectations. Now, if you're just joining us, the target audience is both IT pro and developer. And the reason is that IT pros are going to be using this. You're going to see right away how desperately this is. You want to use this, and it's going to change your business. But developers are going to be very interested in this as well, as they will become part of this process too. Now, some of the prereqs. You got to know PowerShell. So without a doubt, if you haven't already seen it, you can go out to the Getting Started with Windows PowerShell Jumpstart with Jeffrey and I, which gets you started with PowerShell, and then advanced tools and scripting, making tools and doing better scripts. That will get you all set up for what we're doing today. So we're going to assume that you already know that most of that knowledge. But if you're a little bit shy on it, go ahead and jump right out. Plus, there will be additional resources at PowerShell, and we will be giving you additional resources.
Yeah, by the way, so we talk about developers and operators. There's this great term out there called DevOps, if you haven't heard that. And you'll see that desired state configuration is a great DevOps tool. So if we can show my screen for a second, the other great resource, if you want to get into DevOps, I can highly recommend it. Yeah, Gene Kim wrote this fantastic book about called The Phoenix Project, and it's sort of like the DevOps Bible. If you're just getting in DevOps, you're like, I keep hearing this thing. Is this thing important, et cetera? I always tell people, read this book first. You know, it's one of these fictionalized accounts, but I guarantee everyone that's read it has come back and said, boy, I know that guy.
Right.
That's my world. And so it's a fantastic place to get the gestalt of DevOps. And then you'll see that PowerShell and desired state configuration has a particular mindset. And it is a DevOps mindset. So if you don't understand the mindset, some of the things we're doing will seem a little bit odd.
Well, and I want to say, I'm so glad you brought up the Phoenix Project, because I think, as you pointed out, it really emphasizes, okay, here is the desperate situation that you're in. We understand that. Here's a way out of that desperate situation. And it's not easy, but it is doable. And there are companies that are doing it today, and desired state configuration is a huge part of that. So DevOps. And that book, you go get that book. now, a couple of last things before we dive into our very first module. Join the MVA community. Become a registered member of the Virtual Academy and join up the community. And by the way, take a look at the notes there. Earn while you learn. You get some extra MVA points when you get signed up. And there's a link and a special code, which expires in about a month. as well if you want to join. Now, a quick note before we dive into our first module. And we're going to show you something very special. We're going to be working off of something called the Windows Management Framework version 5 February release. Now, this is a preview release, so I just want to say right up front, excuse our dust. So if there are some faux pas, some red screen, stuff like that, not everything is guaranteed perfect. But I do want to point something out. We're going to give you all of the code, and I will be updating the code as time progresses on to make corrections as needed. And we're going to show you a really cool way to get this kind of stuff. So what do you say? You want to?
Let's party, man.
Let's do it. Here we go. Module 1.
Module
Boom.
1.
Boom.
Put your seatbelts on.
Yo, boy, getting ready for DSC. And ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to do is kind of start off here. We're going to take a look at the purpose for DSC, why it exists. We've already started talking about this. A look at the DSC architecture overview, some of the resources and requirements for DSC. And what I want to do is just kind of remind you that we're going to be taking this one step at a time. So there's a lot of complexity in this. There's a lot of components. So we're going to break it all down for you, and we'll be reviewing it as we go along. So don't worry, we'll take good care of you. Let's start off with the purpose to DSC. And Jeffrey, I don't know if I can even say this first bullet. Distributed Heterogeneous Configuration Management Platform. First of all, the idea of the configuration management platform as an API in this. So what are we talking about here with distributed heterogeneous configuration?
Let's break it down. So distributed. So often we're talking about distributing sets of servers, you know, the data center, all the elements of a data center. So it's not just about managing a machine. So it's a distributed system. Second is heterogeneous. You'll see we're very much influenced by the cloud. In case you're not up on current events, turns out there's this thing called the cloud. And it turns out that Microsoft's very invested in doing very well in the cloud. Now, the cloud is by nature heterogeneous, okay? Now, there's two planes of heterogeneity. The first plane of heterogeneity is the fabric itself. So we need to manage the physical devices, we need to be able to manage the storage devices, and we need to be able to the network devices. So that's a heterogeneous world. And then on top of that cloud, people then run their tenant workloads. And those tenant workloads are heterogeneous as well. Multiple versions of Windows, multiple versions of Linux. So it is distributed. It is heterogeneous. It is configuration management. So you want to be able to configure all those components. Okay, and it is a platform. So it's a platform technology. And the point about a platform technology is it allows additional products to be layered on top of it. So here's the thing. Right now, there are a number of configuration management products. And that product works with what it works with, right? And so if you go to one of these products, you'll have to say, oh, well, do you support this, and do you support this, and do you support that? Oh, you don't support that. Well, the other guys, your competitors, support that. Right. And they'll say, yeah, but they don't support this. So it's kind of a mess. And so what we want to do is we want to have a platform, okay? So here's the platform play. Platform is, by the way, so that's the joke, right? What's an architecture? An architecture is something that transforms an N by N problem into an N by one problem. So you got a lot of things that need to be, shut up. They all got it.
They got it. I feel like Richard Sitaways, I don't get to joke. Sorry, Richard.
Do we have hand puppets I can help? Okay, so here's the model. You got a lot of configuration management products, and they vary for very good reasons.
Right.
Different philosophies, different approaches to user interface, different approaches to policy, different approaches to various real-world problems. But then they have to manage a whole bunch of things. So this is the N by N problem. And so right now you have this like, oh, well, this guy wants to be managed. He'll pick a vendor and then plug into that vendor. Well, what about the rest? Well, don't worry about them because some other vendor picked them. And so you just have a mess. And so the architecture here is a platform play. So what we do is we say, hey, everybody that has stuff to be managed, you write your providers this way, and you plug into the platform, the desired state configuration management platform. And then you configuration management tools, you take advantage of that platform, and you can get all of the things.
Okay. So really, this is actually kind of, again, one of these monumental things that usually people don't expect from Microsoft. They would expect you to come out with the product that manages Microsoft stuff. Instead, you're coming out with this platform, kind of an API that's saying, look, you make the products that you want, and then consumers can buy the products that they want that has the tooling that they want, but we're going to give you this piece down here so that everything works the way that you want.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's actually Microsoft's wheelhouse. We are a platform company.
Right.
I mean, think back if you're old enough. Think back when it used to be that there used to be. Here's the way it used to work. Children. When I was a young buck. No, it used to be that you'd have products and they would say which printers they worked with. Like, oh, I bought this word processor. It works with that printer. Oh, but I have that printer. Well, you got to get a different word processor. Like, and that's literally the way it worked. One of the things that made Windows so crazy successful was it had a printer device driver model, which meant all the printer manufacturers wrote a Windows device, a printer driver, and then any product could print to a printer. Now, crazy as that sounds, that was a revolution. It really was. And we're basically doing the same thing. We're doing the platform play.
And
now, here's what that means.
Yeah.
It means two things. First is, if you have stuff to be managed, you definitely want to be plugging into desired state configuration. Write your stuff as desired state configuration resources. This enables your customers to choose whatever configuration management product they want and know that your product will be supported. So that's just fantastic. The next thing is, if you're a customer and you're thinking about a configuration management product, before you write a check, you want to make sure, are they layered on top of desired state configuration? Because if they're not, they're not aligned with the Windows Server strategy, and you're going to end up on the island of misfit toys.
Oh, I love that. The island of misfit toys. And I think that's a really important point, because if while you may hear of other products, like Chef is a great example.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that they do plug into DSC, because DSC is how Microsoft's handling it. If they didn't do that, you are on a misfit toy island.
And we've been working with a number of the configuration management products. Chef has been particularly forward-leaning, taking advantage of the technology, and being a great partner. So they come to us and said, hey, you know, this doesn't work out so well. And we're like, oh, thank you. We're changing the product to better fit with them. So they've been a fantastic partner.
And it turns out that it makes better products along with a better platform all the way around. Now, a couple of other topics here.
Yep.
Why declarative configurations? And I think I want to go back to this enterprise scenario of you the captain and me the first officer kind of thing, of being a declarative configuration. As Jean-Luc Picard or captain of the Starship, you don't really have to know how to align a deflector array or do a particular thing. You just have to know that you want something done.
Right.
And what a declarative configuration is a simple thing for an IT pro or someone to write that says, this is what I want. I don't really have to know the underlying details, right?
Exactly. You know, he's got experts that do that, right? They went through the Starship Academy. They know their phasers. They know their navigation systems. They know their communications. You know, Scotty really knows antimatter, whatever
right,
that thing is.
Right?
They're their experts. He just knows, I need to go faster because we're going to get whooped if we don't. I need those shields up. You figure out how to make that happen. He just is standing up above it, not getting bogged down in the details, and is able to look out and just sort of like a general as well. A general doesn't say, hey, you know, go beat that guy up. It's like, take that hill. You figure out the rest. And so that's what it does, is it allows the resource providers are written by the people who are the experts in that resource. Okay. Now, then they've written it and done this idempotency stuff. And what then allows is another layer of people with less or fewer IT skills to be able to then compose these things together. And so basically it's a way of having the, you know, taking advantage of really skilled people to enable a less skilled group of people to do incredibly powerful stuff.
And I have to say, I'm really glad you kind of said it that way, because at first when DSC came out, I was feeling a little bit depressed. And let me tell you, I was feeling depressed. Because DSC is a configuration platform, this declarative configuration lets somebody that understands what's going on with the business to make decisions of what they need, but they didn't really have to understand exactly how do you install and configure the SQL server or the Exchange server or this or that, which is what I knew how to do as an IT guy. And I was like, wait a minute, they still need me. Well, I know how to do this, but so does everybody else, and that's been scripted. And so I was getting kind of depressed that I wasn't going to have a job because you've scripted me out of my job, man. But as it turns out, my knowledge and my expertise is helping to build those scripts, those resources that configuration can use to do its work.
Exactly. Well, you know, automation always is, it's the phenomena of accumulation. Right? So we build, we work, we struggle at this layer, but then we have an artifact that we share with others, and then we go build on the next layer and the next layer and the next layer. That's why you don't go run out and hunt down an animal and eat it with your teeth, right? Somebody's done that. whatever. Anyway, so anyway, you know, we build. That's what civilization is all about, right, is accumulation of knowledge and specialization. Now, that's, again, why I'm, you know, not such a big fan of GUIs. Let me be clear. I love GUIs. I just want them on the client, never on my server. But the second thing is, when you sit there and, you know, you click, 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 ah, I'm a smart guy. Look what I did. And you say, hey, that's great, Jeffrey. Can I help? And it's like, I don't know, maybe look over my shoulder the next time I do it.
Right.
Right? There's no way to share. It's hard to accumulate a community of smarter and smarter people. It's harder for a community to get smarter, whereas with scripts you can. By the way, there was a great thing you saw. Who was it? Our buddies Lenovo had some problems with this thing called Superfish, right? So they had gotten some malware installed at the factory. And so they sent out some instructions that say, hey, here's how you clean that up. And so I linked on those instructions, and it was a picture and a picture and a picture. And it's like four or five pages of, and then click here and you'll see this, and then click there and you see this. And Lee Holmes tweeted a single PowerShell one-liner, says, or you could do this.
Or you could do this.
And just cut and paste, and boom, it's done.
It's repeatable. It removes human error. It improves the quality, and it's scalable.
And as my wife will tell you, if instructions have more than two steps in it, I will screw it up. So trying to follow this, like, and then click, and click, the ADD kicks in. But cut and paste, two instructions. I can do it.
The other thing is that is so cool that we've already kind of shown everybody is using these declarative configurations, getting it sent out, and then it manages drift. So this change process that could occur after the fact, that may not be documented well, that may be causing problems in my environment, now seems to go away. I forget what the actual numbers were, but it's like 80% of the things that go wrong in an environment are due to change. And what happens is, that's why we have the key phrase, anytime something goes wrong, what's changed?
Nothing.
Or for some people would say, who made a change, which not a good way to phrase that, but what's changed is the phrase. This can start to remove that phrase and remove those incidents, improving business agility and uptime.
Yep.
Because when the question, what's changed, happens is, well, nothing, because we have drift management now.
Great. So let's show them some stuff. Oh, wait, do we have more slides?
Yes. So let's talk a little bit about the architecture. Now, we've already shown that we're going to make a configuration.
Yeah.
And what we did is we sent it out. We pushed it out. So one part of this architecture is that we can do a push to get configurations out to machines.
Yep.
Now, what's that good for? I mean, it's good for testing, right?
What the heck? Are you doing? So no, it's great to, you say testing environments. I'm here. I'm going to create that machine. I test it. Try push, push, push. And the second is where you say, okay, well, I want that machine in that state. Then I want to get that machine in that state. And then I want to do this again. Okay, so you want to do fine-grained sequencing. It's great for push. But then we also have this model of pull. Pull basically says, hey, I'm going to go configure these systems, and on their own accord, what they will do is they will come back to a system, to a server in the sky, and say, tell me what my configuration should be, and it will pull it down and make it so. And that's better for things like, you know, anonymous configuration, where you say, hey, I'm going to have a whole bunch of things, and I might not know that they're out there, but when they are available, they're going to get configured.
Okay, so let me see if I can, I'm missing a piece. So if I'm going to send a configuration and I'm going to push it to a machine,
yep,
or if I'm going to set something up where machines are going to come and pull that configuration, you're insinuating that there's something on all of our boxes,
yes,
that knows how to run this configuration.
Yes.
And
yes.
I what is this piece that is so magical that knows this?
Well, if it was my way, it would be called the Make It So agent. We don't. We call it the LCM, the Local Configuration Manager. Now, the Local Configuration Manager is a WMI provider.
Oh, okay. And so this is built into the OS.
Built into the OS.
And it ships with PowerShell V4. And yes. I know we've got slides on this, but PowerShell V4. And it kind of acts as an agent to take this configuration and run it and make sure that the machine is meeting that config or
exactly
generate
now messages. You might say, why did PowerShell use a WMI agent?
Yeah.
Well, remember we said, what did we say? Distributed.
Distributed.
So WMI is distributed, but so is PowerShell. But we said heterogeneous.
That's the key, right?
And so WMI, there is an open source version of WMI called OMI. open management interface. And that is a heterogeneous version of this. And so we have a, being a WMI agent, it is also an OMI agent. And so desired state configuration will manage and configure Windows systems or Linux systems or other heterogeneous components, all using standards-based management. So that's the thing. This is not a Microsoft-only thing. Anybody can implement this using standards-based management. Now, we're going to help them implement it across everything by open-sourcing implementations of those standards, but they can, you know, use our implementations. They're very freely licensed, or they can have their own implementations, and things will just work.
One other thing before, and then we can start showing it, because we got some really cool stuff to start showing you guys, is... So we can push a config, we can pull a config, and we have the local configuration manager, LCM, that's going to handle this configuration built into the operating system. But one of the things is when we're authoring this configuration, we said declarative, it's going to be pretty straightforward to make the config, but we need things that know how to do the do part, the actual do part. Those are called resources, right? Yeah. And so I've got a slide up here. If you take a quick look, we're going to need some resources for DSC. Now, when DSC first shipped with PowerShell V4, do you want to tell everybody what version it was? I know that sounds weird. I know you're like, well, if it shipped with PowerShell V4, DSC would be version 1, right?
Yeah, exactly. It was the first version of DSC. I mean, in PowerShell version 4. In reality, it was like PowerShell, it was DSC version 0.8.
0.8.
Yeah. Part of the DevOps mindset is something called a minimal viable product. And that is to say, hey, don't get too, you know, heady. Don't get too much living in your head. Have a theory as to what people want, then ship the minimal viable product so that people can start using it and then get their feedback and get and respond to their feedback. So you'll see one of the DevOps guys have some wonderful phrases. One of the most important ones is respect reality. Okay, respect reality. What's that mean? That means get out of your head. Like, okay, you have an idea. It might be a good idea. It might be a crap idea. As long as it's in your head, you're never going to really know. It's only when you take that idea and you ship it and you give it to customers and you say, what do you think? What do you think? Like I mentioned with the chef guys. What do you think? Oh, it doesn't work for us. Oh, really? Why? Oh, okay, great. And then you make it better. So that's what we did. And so in that case, I say it's not like our traditional V1, which is a little bit more cooked. It was a kind of a 0.8 version. And so we had a very small number of resources, 12, I think.
And you know, I think what I want to do is I want to show something is just what you said, because I don't think people realize what the impact of this is. And I want you to see the stellar approach that's occurred since this 0.8. So you're going to need resources, and those resources are available on your system. And I have a commandlet that'll show you the DSC resources called get DSC resources. And these are the in the box, what shipped. Now, originally, this, we'll call it 0.8 build when it shipped with V4, shipped with 12 resources. And we're gonna actually take you on a resource tour and show you this. Now, remember, these are the things that you're gonna use in your configuration that will do the work for you. Now, the idea here is these are the built-in ones that ship with the product, only 12 things like file and registry and environment. But Jeffrey, here's one of the interesting things that happened.
Yep.
Is this shipped and everybody started to try it and customers started to put it into production.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, the PowerShell team, like overnight, became this DSC resource generating. DSC became the most important thing on the plate. And I think it would be important for people to know that this isn't like a little feature focus. This is the focus.
Yes, exactly correct. So we did two things since then. So one, we listened to customers. We reacted very, very quickly to customers. So again, we shipped with 12. I think now, well, I don't know. Let's find out how many we have in a second. But the second thing we did was we then very quickly produced an update. So the latest update to Windows 8.1 and Windows Server 2012 R2, there's a cumulative update, and boy, there's a substantial increase in the quality and the capabilities of desired state configuration in that. So that brings us, really kind of brought us from like a version 0.8 to like a 1.4 or 1.5. It's really quite substantial. But we've been going even greater guns than that. That's why you see the WMF. Okay, so it used to be we would ship the version of Windows, we'd ship the next version of a product in Windows, and then we'd take it and make it available down level. right? But it's pretty cooked at that point.
Right.
Now what we're doing is we're releasing the WMF every couple months. As we code it, we give it to you. As we code it, we give it to you to, in order to hear feedback. Like, yeah, that's, oh, that's exactly what we're looking for. Or, no, that's not what I need. I'm still missing this, et cetera. So with that, let's go show people how they can, a little bit of WMF version, February version of the WMF preview,
yeah,
and what that means for how you get resources. So if we can switch to mine.
And you don't want to miss this. This is actually really cool.
Yeah, put your seatbelt on. Okay, so there we go. Okay, so now first, notice here, I'm going to zoom up and notice that this show window zoomed up. Did you see that?
Yep.
Is that awesome? So we have something here called, a module called PowerShell GET. PowerShell GET. And so what this is now we make it easy to go find all the modules. Okay, come back here. So we'll be able to do, we have a repository, and you see you can access multiple repositories. And we'll go, oh, yeah, first time we ran it, you have got to download NuGet. NuGet
yeah,
so is a protocol.
Yeah, so let's just take a minute and talk about what OneGet is.
Yes.
This concept of a repository, and this is a special repository. What's a repository, and what's NuGet, and what's this give me when you run this commandlet?
Okay, so a repository is a container of stuff.
Of stuff.
What's the stuff? Answer is, depends. There's a different type of repository. Different types of repositories hold different types of stuff. So there's one repository called Chocolatey. And Chocolatey repository holds stuff like sys internals and various browsers and runtimes and things like that. Things an IT pro, sort of product things that are components that an IT pro would want on a machine. Then there's the PowerShell Gallery. The PowerShell Gallery is a repository that contains PowerShell modules and DSC resources. So OneGet is a package manager manager.
Package manager manager, got it.
So you can. There are lots of different package managers in the Windows subsystem, in the Windows ecosystem, and you can plug them all into OneGet, and then it will be able to get all those various things. Okay, so we're not picking a winner here.
Right.
Now that said, then PowerShell GET is layered on top of OneGet to get PowerShell artifacts. So here I did get a module, and you'll see all the various modules that I can go out and get. Now, alternatively, what I could have done is I could have said get DSC resource. Okay, so that's an experience layered on top of PowerShell find module. So this says, find me the modules that have resources, DSC resources. So you see, when you put something into the repositories, you tag it with various metadata, and often we will open up the what you've given us and see what you've declared and auto-generate some tags for you. And then we are able to build a better experience. So here we say, hey, some of those are just pure modules. Some of those have DSC resources in it. So we're going to get DSC resources. I'll say minus OVR. Pipe to measure. Let's find out how many we have. Nope. I said get. That's local. Wrong. It's find.
Oh, find, yes.
Get shows me the ones that I have on my system. So you see I have 16 on my system.
So 197.
197.
Okay.
So we've been busy. We've been busy. Now, if you want to see what those things are, that's why I did $R, pipe to OGV, upgrid view. And by the way, now outgrid view, control plus, yay.
Oh, yay.
So now you can zoom outgrid view and show command.
So these are new resources that are available that people can use for their products. And people should look at these. We're going to be talking about showing these in several of these. But I'm noticing something kind of bizarre. I've seen things that begin, these resources that begin with a C and begin with an X.
Bizarre? You've
yes.
led a sheltered life.
I yeah, that's bizarre, right?
Okay, so C, we set up a naming convention, and basically X stands for experimental. So you see down here, these are experimentals. Okay, and so what we're doing is we're...
And those are written by Microsoft, right?
They're written by a wide range of people. Yeah, they're typically Microsoft.
Okay.
Yes. So the PowerShell team, the CAT team, the customer advisor, I don't know what CAT stands for.
Neither do I.
Microsoft Teams, yes, various Microsoft Teams. And the idea here is, back to that DevOps mindset, we're giving these to people, and we're making you aware they're experimental. So one, they're not may not be fully production quality, but the real important things, most of them are pretty darn good. Most of it means is we want your feedback. And if you give us feedback that says this isn't the right way to do it, we will take breaking changes, okay? So you got to be aware of that when you use an X resource. It might change and it might require you to change your stuff.
Right.
But the reason why it's changing is because you told us you wanted it changed. And then when it's settled, we take away the X. Now, then the C stands for community resources. So these are resources that, you know, we might have an X version out there, and the community then says, hey, we want to change that. Right now, we don't have the right IP infrastructure to be able to allow the community to make changes to our resources in a way that then we can ship them in Windows. No, honestly, I'm working on that.
Oh, and I think that's actually very interesting that you said that. So Microsoft's developing experimental resources. The community using those resources are creating their own, but if you can't just give code to Microsoft, there's all kinds of IP, intellectual property problems with that. But it's interesting. You're trying to see if there's a way to fix that so people like us can contribute directly back to Microsoft and make these resources better and better. Now,
how cool would that be, right? You have a suggestion, you have a bug fix, and then it ships in the next version of Windows.
Yeah, I'd put that on my business card.
Yeah.
I would. I'd do that.
Windows is better because of me.
Right. Now, we're going to show folks that when they want to grab, if they are on WMF5, if they want to grab a resource using OneGet, they can do that. Because you did find module, but we have install module.
Yeah.
Now, for those people that are on PowerShell V4 right now, and they wanted to see all of the additional resources.
Yep.
We have a resource kit that's available, right?
Yes.
That they can just download the resources. And we're going to tell you where to put the resources after you download them. But the PowerShell team is the blog site is probably the best one to go to for the res kits, right?
Yep, or the PowerShell Gallery.
Or the PowerShell Gallery.
So go back to my slide here. So if you just search PowerShell Gallery, you'll see PowerShell Gallery, home. You click here, and this is the PowerShell Gallery. Okay. By the way, so now, here, if you haven't already, I would encourage you to download two modules for this thing. So here, if you do a search, you can search for, by the way, so notice here is 142 unique modules, that many module downloads. If you search for MVA, right, Microsoft Virtual Academy, and you click, you'll see that I have published two MVA modules. There's the MVA for DSC 2015, that's why you're here, day one, and then day two. And in this, you'll see, we've got a bunch of slides, we have the demos, and we have some scripts to say, show me the slides, show me the demos. In fact, one of those show demo / day one / module one.
He made commandlets for us too for this. This is so cool. So here's what's gonna happen, folks. All of the code that you see us work with, we're gonna go, excuse me. We're going to
make available to you through this module.
Nothing like live TV. So we're gonna make this available to you as soon as my throat clears by updating those resources. You can always go out to the gallery and download them. So, you know, what all the stuff we're using right now, you can go out right now and grab and follow along with us. They will also need, though, if you want to follow along with us and you've got a virtual machine, you're probably going to want WMF5, the February preview as well.
Yes, you want WMF5. So if you go back to my screen again. So here, if you search for February, WMF preview, you'll see it brings you to here, and we got a blog entry, and it's a link to the Microsoft Download Center. Okay, so you download this. Now, here's the interesting thing. It works on 8.1, 2012, and 2012 R2. Okay, so.
And here's something to kind of keep in mind. Don't put this into production. It is a preview, so be very careful about that. So you want to put this on a VM, something like that. You can grab the scripts from the PowerShell Gallery. that we're going to be working with. As I mentioned, we will be updating those in the future. I'll be updating them, making corrections, that kind of thing. And keep something in mind when you're working with all of this. This is a preview release. So again, excuse our dust as we work through it. Now,
yes, by the way, and when you read the release notes, you'll see we're trying to be clear with people, set expectations.
Ah, yes.
So what we do is we tell you the various things that we're working on and whether, you know, where they are. So I think we use the term stable and experimental.
And experimental, yes.
So stable means, hey, we're pretty happy with this. You know, there might be some issues, but you can sort of bet on that. Experimental says this is an area that we're actively seeking feedback on and may change based upon your feedback.
Now, a couple of additional things that we want to point out. So Jeffrey mentioned that the WMF5 preview works on server 2012 and 2012 R2, Windows 8.1. That's great. So we're all set with that. A couple of other things on my slide that we just want to talk about here for a couple of minutes before we get into all of the code. And that's, you want to have the February WMF5 preview if you want to follow along with us. Now, DSC is built on SIM and needs a Windows remote management service and listeners. So, Jeffrey, and this will make sense to our audience. If they've been working with PowerShell, they've been using PowerShell remoting, we have to have remoting turned on.
Yep.
Or let me put it this way. You don't actually have to have remoting turned on, but why not just have remoting turned on? I know there's ways you can just create the listener and stuff like that, but turn on remoting so that we can use DSC. So
yeah, absolutely.
To anybody who hasn't turned on remoting.
McFly.
Okay, that's what McFly. I was looking for. McFly.
Yeah, just be clear, right? So when we started PowerShell, we were very, very cautious. If you remember, the whole security boofarama started with, I love you, .vbs. So scripting was like...
Oh, yeah. Sorry, that wasn't...
Okay, talk about that later. It was about scripting was one of the most dangerous vectors. And so we knew that, and we knew that if we got this wrong, we would be destroyed, yeah. And our customers would be hurt, both of those. Anyway, so what we decided was we wanted to be very conservative from the get-go, and so that's why we had restriction, you know, et cetera. And then step by step, as we've gained confidence and have a pretty, well, a clean track record of security problems, we have been loosening things up. So in 2012, I believe, or it might have been 2012 R2, now remoting is on by default.
Right.
You know, you have to make an active step to turn it off. And we're just very confident in it.
And I think it's really important if you haven't had a chance, check out the very first PowerShell video for more information about remoting. But if you already know about remoting, you can enable it in your lab environment very quickly with an enable-ps remoting commandlet on the target systems that you want to be able to remote to. DSC will now be able to use that. Also, if you're doing it in production, you have group policy settings for that. Again, go back to that earlier video to check those settings, but you need to get remoting turned on because that's what we're going to be using with DSC. You also need a script execution policy set on those systems as well, which you can also do with group policies. You know, I think, see, what we've talked about here, we talked about that we're going to use this configuration management platform known as PowerShell Desired State Configuration. It's going to let us make declarative configurations so that simplified configurations that we say this is what we want, and then built into that we'll have resources that will actually do all the do this, do this, do this, do this for us. At the target side, we have an LCM, local configuration manager, that's going to run this for us. And it's all built into the operating system, which I think is really cool.
Yep.
So now we just have to dive into the code.
Love it.
All right. So, folks, here's what we're going to do. When we come back to the next module, what we're going to do at the top of the hour is we're going to start diving into code. And I want to give you a couple of pieces of information. Yes, we're going to spend a lot of time in a lot of code. And it's going to get a little bit confusing from time to time, but we'll make sure that you're following along. So while we've had this great discussion during this first module of DSC in general, now we're going to break it down and show you how it all works, how to get it set up in your environment, how to start writing configurations, using resources, and the wonderful world of taking control of your environment. See you in a little bit when we all come back.
Cheers.